Hi, everyone. You are on with John, and joining me tonight is a member of Danbury, Connecticut's Zoning Committee, as well as an old friend, Ryan Hawley. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Pretty good today. Pretty blue.
Anything new today?
I can't really think of much.
So the last episode of, well, actually, before we get into politics, I guess we can talk about when we met, which we were trying to figure out before. We think it was middle school.
Yep, I think it was the horrible years of middle school and our wonderful concert choir led by Miss Swanson.
Oh, Miss Swanson, yes, I do remember her. I loved her.
She was great. She got things done, that woman.
She also was my mom's choir teacher.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so
I wonder if she still works there. I have no idea.
Teachers just, I feel like teachers live forever, so probably.
Right, they must.
Okay, so this episode, well, first of all, I'm so excited to finally have you on my podcast because I've wanted to talk to you on it for a long time because you're also very into politics. What was your major in well, I guess I'll tell everyone listening. We also went to college together. We went to middle school together. And then I went to a different high school, but then we went to college together. And then you graduated. Weren't you the valedictorian? Is that right?
No, I wish.
What were you?
But I did speak at graduation, though, because I was part of the Student Government Association. I was one of the leaders there for 3 years.
Okay. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. I graduated there with a bachelor's in psychology and a minor in biology, but I wanted to initially do a major in biology and a major in psychology because I was like, all right, I'm already going to be here a little longer than I wanted to be. Might as well get two degrees out of it. It didn't end up working out that way, so I ended up graduating with like double the amount of credits you needed for a biology minor. Uh-huh. So I had all those. But yeah, I graduated way back when in 2018 with a nice, wonderful degree in psychology. But honestly, though, the coolest moment of my life was speaking at my college graduation with like the state senator there, all my classmates, my family. It was great. I was able to give like the introductions, like the greetings from the student government of that year.
I know because I was in the audience, so I listened to your speech. I graduated the year after you, I guess, but I was at your graduation because I had friends in your grade, and you did a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
And I felt a bit of I don't know. I feel like I can say our middle school name on here. It's not like people care, I don't think. But I felt some Broadview pride.
definitely a lot of Broadview pride and like a little bit of that preteen angst. Because you know, middle school is not great for the gays sometimes. All the gay people I know in my life, they always hate middle school. And they look forward to the moment where they can prove to those people in middle school that they are worth something, you know?
Well, you had that moment.
I did. It was great. I definitely absorbed every moment of that. It was great.
But also, I don't think middle school is great for anyone, let alone the gay kids. So
oh, definitely.
We could just throw that out there too.
I hate those years. Oh my gosh. Because you're really figuring out everything you like, what you don't like, and a lot of the things you don't like. And you just make sure everyone knows about it, especially me.
Well, like for me, you see, I had you on here so we could do a whole episode about the election, but look, we're already talking about other stuff, which is great. It's
here
fine. Because for me, I feel like the only, well, not the only, but a major part of my personality that changed. I mean, so much has changed since middle school, but I feel like my core personality has always kind of been similar. I've always kind of been somewhat shy, actually. It's weird. Like in my personal life, I'm a quiet person. I keep to myself. I do my own thing. And that's exactly what I was like in middle school, except now I'm on a career path, and I've been on career paths that all have to do with being a public persona. So I don't know how I ended up there, but in my personal, like, at home life, I'm still pretty, like, shy and keep to myself, and I like to be home. And that's something that I've always been like, even in middle school. But in middle school, the bullying didn't help. That maybe forced me to be shy. But now I just enjoy being alone.
I really agree with all of that.
Do you?
It's just great to be alone sometimes, you know? Like, this whole pandemic, everyone's like, oh my God, I hate being alone. But, like, it's kind of nice sometimes. Honestly, like, I can go a few days without talking to anybody, and I would not have any problem at all. But I know some people that would go crazy.
Oh, absolutely. But I literally moved out during the pandemic into my own apartment so I could be extra by myself. I think being stuck in a house with family is what made me realize, like, oh, I need to be alone.
Yep.
Okay, so do you want to get into politics?
I'm down.
Okay.
It's exhausting. These last 4 years have been exhausting. But from what I heard today, it seems like my exhaustion might end for just at least 4 years.
I think it's ending. And, you know, obviously, I have my own personal political beliefs, but I try to kind of stay away from them on here just because, you know, I'm in school for journalism and everything. But anyone who knows me personally knows what I think. But you are, I think, openly a Democrat, right?
Yep. I'm a proud Democrat.
Okay. So I'm actually, I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm not actually registered to any party. That's the truth. But I did vote for Joe Biden, and I have talked about on this podcast how I think Donald Trump's the worst president we've ever had, and I don't even consider him a real Republican. So that's where I'm at. That's where I've always been at with him. But so we talked about this a little bit already, but you were a poll worker for this election. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I think it was like 3 months ago or so, I reached out to the registrar of voters for the Democrats in our city. And I told her I was a little concerned about my neighbor who is a poll worker. She's currently like 78 years old, and she's always been, for some reason, I feel like every election I go to, she's always in her 70s. And this poor
she's
old
like,
lady.
She's like a teacher. She doesn't age.
Exactly. And her, like, her poor hands are, like, arthritis. Like, all her joints are, like, all, like, turning and stuff. So whenever she's, like, pointing at my name on the voter list, it takes forever sometimes. But I feel bad for her because why should this lady who has been dedicating herself to the polls and, like, working with democracy front hand and first hand and stuff like that, why should she have to continue doing that in a pandemic where she could literally catch this virus and it could really be fatal for her because
exactly
she's in that, like, high risk category.
Something
so
that
I really
go ahead.
I was saying, so that made me really want to reach out to my registrar of voters who hires their local poll workers for all the different wards in our city, and I wanted to apply, and then she ended up hiring me on, and it was quite the experience.
Well, I also wanted to be a poll worker this year for the same reason, but I knew I wouldn't be able to get the day off of work because I practically live there. But if I was able to get the day off of work, which I wasn't, I absolutely would have been a poll worker. And at my polling location specifically, there were so many more young people, and I loved to see it because not only did we need our generation to step up during a pandemic, but in general, we needed our generation to step up in politics. And I think maybe this is the election that's going to start that, which I think is a great thing.
Yep, I definitely agree. Earlier today, I was watching Bernie Sanders, like, he was thanking, like, all the people that worked on progressive organizations and like helping out on their, like, their end of the party and, like, really activating voters. And he said 53% of young voters between the ages of 18 and 29, they came out this election.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they came out because of this pandemic. And they also came out because of Donald Trump and how people are just tired of it. Listen, we've had 4 years of this horrible, horrible, horrible reality star of our president, also a fake billionaire. And I think a lot of people are just over it, and they wanted to put themselves out there, especially in, like, the line of a pandemic. to really just really try to change things, either by being a poll worker or like being a campaigner, go door to door, knock on doors and stuff like that, and like also reach out via phone, be like a texter. This election was really carried by a lot of the young people in the community, and also by a lot of like people of the biopic origin, like they like those people who have always been historically a minority in politics, mm-hmm. and always pushed out of this. Every election before this, people were always pushed out into like the side margins. They're like, oh, the young people don't vote. Oh, you know, the black vote, you know what? They always vote for Democrats. It's okay. We can easily counterbalance that with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been forgiven. But this election, it really changed. It really changed.
Well, what's so interesting
you can continue.
What's so interesting to me is that for so many years, and to be fair, we're only in our early 20s. Like, it's not like we've been able to vote for many years and we just haven't. Like, that's not our generation that did that. We just were able to vote in the last election, just to be clear. But something we always hear from older generations is how young people don't care enough about politics. They don't care enough about the issues happening in the world. And now that we do, and now that we are using our votes, they don't necessarily like it. But you know what? I think it's what needs to happen.
Yep. Listen, we're the people that are going to inherit this world. I'm sorry, those boomers, you know what? They're aging. They're dying off. I'm sorry to say it that way, but this is the way it's going to be. We are the generation that will inherit this world, and we need to start planning for the huge global catastrophes that are heading our way, such as climate change and institutionalized racism. All these things need to be handled now. Otherwise, they're not going to be handled with. And these issues that we're experiencing now are just going to grow exponentially. And that is my biggest concern. And I feel like so many people our age are seeing this, and they feel impassioned by that, and they really want to make a big change just because of that.
And I don't feel like the issues you just mentioned automatically should make someone a liberal. Like, I don't think calling out racism and saying that global warming is real makes you a crazy liberal. Like, I think those are just based in fact and in science, and we shouldn't be putting people in political bubbles because they have those beliefs. That's something I personally don't like, especially as someone who is now in school for journalism, who also sees that there's racism and global warming. I don't want to just be labeled as a crazy liberal because I see those things happening and I'm calling them out, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I believe it's a weird transition period we're in right now. And I believe like the little tricks that these institutions have used to hold on to their power for so long, they're using those tricks on us now. And you know what? We're seeing through that BS. And we are like, listen, the climate is warming. Miami is going to be underwater in the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to fix it? They're like, oh, you know what? We don't mind. We don't care. It's okay. You know, I'm not going to be alive in 20 years, maybe, because, you know, I've been in office for 40 years.
Mm.
They don't care. It's not it's not a problem for them. Also, like, random side note, my father is quite the Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. He's in his 60s. And one of my main arguments with him is like, listen, Dad, the world that we have to deal with that you're giving us, you're not going to have to see the horrors of that world. You're not going to have to see the horrible, like, catastrophic side effects of climate change. Listen, my niece, your granddaughter, she is going to inherit that world. And if you don't vote the certain way right now, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, who is believing in science, you are putting her future at risk. And I feel like a lot of people in that generation they can't comprehend a generation beyond themselves. They only look at themselves and they're like, okay, this doesn't affect me. I don't care. Let's put it aside. And that's what's been going on for generations and generations. And that's why the issues we have right now are so severe, because no one wanted to deal with them.
Hmm.
And now we're forced to deal with them. So we got to make sure we stop this cycle, and we have to deal with these issues head on. And I'm sorry if that makes me a radical liberal, but I think we need to deal these issues and we need to move forward with life and evolution as a human society.
Well, on a greater level, I just don't understand the fear and the resistance to change that tends to come from the older generation. But then also we have we now have, well, actually, no, we currently have a boomer president, and we're going to have another boomer president. And so there are some of them who get it. Joe Biden seems to get it. And, you know, I've been saying this all along to my friends and on this podcast that Joe Biden was never my first choice for president. You know, I think he does represent a lot of the old way of politics in this country. But I think that's exactly what we need right now to fix everything that Donald Trump did. And I don't have any regrets or any reservations about voting for Joe Biden. Like, was he my first choice? No, but he absolutely was who I needed to vote for in this election. And I don't. And the other interesting thing, the other thought I had while you were talking, is that Joe Biden is someone who was pretty beloved by both sides before Donald Trump. So I don't buy now that he's this radical liberal that the right hates. I think once things start to cool down from these crazy 4 years we've had, I think people might start to think along the lines of, yeah, that's Joe Biden. We know him. He works with both sides. We like that. That's how America works. I think it'll be a slow ride to get back to that, but I do think that's where we'll end back up. What do you think?
I definitely agree with that. Actually, when you're saying that, I remembered this CNN documentary I was watching about actually Joe Biden. It was on the TV. I was like folding my laundry and stuff, and I was like, oh, whatever. It's like in the background and all. But then I started listening to it, and it was amazing. This man's life is incredible. He ran for president previously, and like the day after he decided to drop out of the primary like contest and stuff like that, he ended up having a huge brain aneurysm, and he literally almost died. And apparently his like stutters and stuff were like exacerbated by this brain hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. So it's insane to me that our current president like kind of makes fun of him. They're like, oh, he doesn't know where he is. This man literally had brain damage from running for president. But yet here he is again. He's doing the same thing because he has all those years of experience. Like you were saying, he was in the House. He was in the Senate for so long. He was vice president. Mm-hmm. This man knows politics back and forth. He knows all the people that are currently running the system. This is the exact person we need, just like you said. And I do believe he is the bridge of the progressive like left of the party to be able to put forward the change that we need in the society, like the Green New Deal, those type of things.
Well, he.
So that's why I'm not too mad that I voted for Joe Biden. I definitely don't regret voting for him. Also, I did vote for him, if that's not clear by now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say my first choice back in the primaries of 2016, I voted for Bernie Sanders because he was speaking my language. He knew the problems that I understood, and he had a plan that I really resonated with.
Well, Bernie
did the same thing in 2020.
Yeah, Bernie appealed to a lot of young people on the left. We know that now. But the thing about Joe Biden is that not only does he know politics, but he knows pain, and he knows how to deal with people in pain. And I think after these past 4 years, we are a country in pain. So I think a lot of everything happening now has to do with timing. And something I don't really talk a lot about on my podcast is, you know, my belief in astrology and, you know, stars aligned and stuff like that, because that's not really what I talk about on here. But I do believe in those things. And I feel like this was just the right time for Joe Biden. I think everything aligned for him to finally be president, because we know he's always wanted to be president, but it didn't work out for him before. But I think, and I saw this on Twitter, I don't want to take credit for it, but I think he went through all of the pain in his life to finally help our country get through ours. And when I saw that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense, and it's beautiful.
That is so beautiful. I have like chills hearing that. Because again, I'm a person, you know, our wonderful generation, we love these new age beliefs, and I fully subscribe to the astrology belief and everything. And I do believe that coincidences don't just happen. They are meant to be. They're a sign from the universe. And this right here is like an ultimate sign that this is the person we need right now. This is the person that will be able to restore faith in our country. This is also going to the person who's going to make politics boring once again. Can you not wait for the moment where we don't hear about the president every single day for 4 years straight?
I mean,
I look forward to the day when that's true.
I mean, the politics nerds like us are going to still hear about the president every day, no matter who it is, because we're going to look for it. But the general public, yes, I'm sure they can't wait to not know what the president's doing because it's not mattering, really, you know?
Exactly. Like, it's going to be a beautiful time. And I believe it's going to be also a beautiful time as well with Joe Biden as our 46th president, because he's not going to try to use the systems we have right now against us. Because right now, our current president, he loves to use the art of distraction. I like to believe he's like some magician or something. Like, he loves to put up these smokes, all these mirrors and stuff like that. So we all get confused. We don't know what's going on. And it is insane. And it's bringing out the worst in our country. And that is honestly what scares me about these next, like, 12 weeks between now and inauguration day.
Yeah. And
it's going to be a rough ride.
What's always bothered me the most, and honestly what's offended me the most about Trump being president, is, you know, I know in the beginning of his presidency, and for some people throughout, we had that whole thing where people were saying, you know, not my president, not my president. And I wasn't part of that group. I was like, he is the president, whether you like it or not, you have to get over it. He's the president. But it never felt like he was a president for me, because I was someone who didn't vote for him and I don't agree with who he is as a human being. And it felt like he never cared enough about anyone who didn't vote for him. And I don't think that should ever be the way, especially in America. You know, there have always been presidents that disagreed with, you know, the people in the public, and there have always been people in the public who disagree with the president, but I had never felt before that the president truly didn't care about specific people in his own country. And that's how Donald Trump made me feel. So when I found out that Joe Biden won today, it felt like the first time in 4 years that I could breathe, you know, the first time in 4 years that I don't have to worry about what the other countries are thinking about America, because finally we have an adult at the wheel, you know?
I hear you. Speaking of figuring out today, where were you today when you figured out
that
Joe Biden is our 46th president?
What a nice question, Ryan. I've been peeled to my computer and TV and phone since Tuesday. I literally have not slept. I've been checking in the middle of the night. And ironically enough, I was on my way out the door to go to work, and I just happened to be on my phone on Twitter, and I saw that they called it for Joe Biden. And I literally, like, true story, let out a scream and then went to work. And I didn't have a chance to really celebrate or take it in until tonight when I got out of work, which was so nice. And did you get to watch any of his speech or Kamala's speech?
Yeah, I started watching. I started, like, waiting on the Facebook Live for, like, Kamala to come on. Like, 20 minutes later, she came on, and I listened to it. I listened to the whole thing, and then she introduced Joe Biden, and I just got chills. I was even, like, listening to her whole speech. It was, like, amazing to listen to a politician, you know, talk about our country, talk about what they're going to do, all these different plans and all that stuff, and, like, thanking people for helping them get to this point.
Well,
and also agreeing that there's so much more to go forward. And then she introduced Joe Biden, and I was like, okay, I've seen what I want. I'm going to drop off right now because, you know, I'm with my family. So, and a few of my family members are Trump supporters,
yeah.
So I didn't want to, like, ruin the mood, you know, by having this on blast.
Well, I mean, our mood has been ruined for 4 years. I think they could suck it up for a night.
I agree.
But I also got chills when Joe Biden was announced, because he ran out like he was a kid on Christmas. Like, this has been his dream his whole life, and I was just so excited for him. And also, like that's one thought I had. But then we also need to talk about how historic this is, that we have a woman in the White House, a Black and Asian woman in the White House, and whether or not you agree with her, that doesn't matter right now, because even if it was Carly Fiorina as president or vice president, I would still be just as excited, because this is historic for little girls and little kids of color everywhere. And we can't, you know, just leave that out of the conversation.
Yep, definitely. It's truly, honestly, a moment in history. Like, this whole election, I've been, like, waiting for my kids and stuff to, like, go through their history books and their high school courses. And they go back to, like, the 2020 chapter, and they see that history is being broken so many times this year. And this time, it's for a great reason. For once, we have a woman of color as our vice president. That is incredible. Mm-hmm. She is literally a heartbeat away from the presidency. And with this president, you know, he is the oldest president.
Also historic.
History.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also historic. But it's also highly likely that she will be president one day. And that, again, will be incredibly historic.
Well, I mean, it is quite
the moment.
I don't want to get away from, like, the joy and celebration of tonight, but I do just want to say quickly that I don't think Joe Biden will run again after his 4 years are up, and I do think Kamala will go for it.
Yep, I definitely agree. That's what a lot of things I've been seeing on, like, Fox News. It's like, this is the Democratic plan to control the White House for 12 years. Okay, but can you tell me what's wrong with that? We're going to go through a national crisis together. This Democratic administration will definitely solve this problem, because this whole problem wouldn't have been a problem if we had Hillary Clinton in the White House, hopefully. But, you know, I can't say that for sure. But, you know, these Democrats, they take on the problems head on, and they will solve them. And what part of 12 years of under Democratic rule sounds bad to you?
Well, also,
I don't understand it, Fox News.
As long as it's 12 years of, you know, legally voted in presidents who care for the country, yep, we should be good. But we can't have, exactly, we can't have any more Donald Trumps who don't belong there, have no idea what they're doing, and get help from foreign countries. That's not going to fly in this country. Right. But 12 years of any president who cares about the country is a good thing. But I know, I mean, I haven't been watching all of the coverage about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris winning. I was watching all of the election coverage, but then I purposely did not watch any coverage about them winning, because I didn't want to hear anyone else's opinions about it. I just wanted to celebrate and breathe today after 4 years of not being able to do that. But yep. I have heard theories from right-wing talking heads in the past that, you know, Kamala Harris is going to be the president and she's going to be leading everything, and this was just the way to get her in, which is not true at all. Like, we voted, the people who did vote for him voted for Joe Biden. We voted for a Joe Biden presidency. Kamala Harris is there and she's probably going to do just fine. But people say this all the time. I remember people said this about Dick Cheney with George W. Bush, that Dick Cheney was running the country. So, like, whoever is not in power is going to have complaints, but you know what? Nothing will be as bad as what we just went through.
Exactly. And also, to those people who really hardcore believe that, I would say, listen, her name was on the ballot as well. You were voting for her and Joe Biden to both be in charge of our country. So, listen, you're not wrong. I'm sorry you are so skeptical to these beliefs, but I also believe this, like, hypersensitivity, especially towards Kamala, mm-hmm, because she's a woman of color. I believe it's through racial things and also misogynistic, like, people. Those type of people are the ones that are trying to pit, like, I don't know, they're using their hatred and they're trying to blame it on Kamala. They're like, oh no, he's being manipulated by Kamala, you know, because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And also, yeah, go ahead.
These Trump supporters are just ridiculous. I don't understand it. Today I was watching the news. I saw the Trump supporters in Nevada, like, praying to that, like, election counting center. These people are mentally ill, and I feel like they need the help they desperately need, but they can't get it from this Republican government.
Well, I also saw, you know, just to give another point of view, is I saw, I don't know where it was, but there were these Trump supporters after it was announced that Biden won, that they were praying with Biden supporters. And if that is something that can continue, that is where we need to be going. Like, I hope that Trump's supporters are not, what am I trying to say? I hope that I'm trying to find a way to say this. I hope that Trump didn't permanently recreate this new idea of what it means to be a Republican. I hope that now that he's going to be out of the picture, that this whole, you know, people, his supporters treat him like he is a king and a superstar. And I just hope that once he's out of the picture, everyone comes back down to reality and the divisiveness that Trump created doesn't stick around with his supporters. I hope they come around and realize, okay, maybe we all have more in common than not. And that one man does not represent our party. I hope that's where we get to.
I hope so too. But I'm also, I'm so concerned. As a person that comes from a degree in psychology, a lot of my coursework was with like social psychology. And one of our segments in social psychology was about, like, I hate to say it, but cults.
Mm.
And how these cults, they 100% and maybe more, they believe in this one person. That one person will give everything they want and they will do anything for that one person when they're manipulated correctly. And I feel like I can't say the entire percentage of Trump's base is these supporters, but I will say at least a small percentage is these supporters who believe that Trump is literally the Messiah or something. Like he is the one person to worship and they will do anything for him. And that kind of power is, I don't know, it's scary. Because he literally has control over these people. And if he wants them to do whatever they want, and he tells them to do it, it's going to cause some crazy issues in our society. And that's why I'm kind of worried for these next 12 weeks. Which is why I'm also kind of glad, like, we're in a pandemic. We're kind of being forced to stay at home. I can stay at home. I'm okay with that. As long as I'm not being exposed to these crazy little tactics, I feel like this receding, like, Trump administration are going to, like, act on. It's getting crazy because he has so much control over some of his supporters. It's insane.
Well,
it's also unprecedented.
I've been saying for months now that the worst time period of Trump's presidency will be from November to January if he loses. I've been saying that for forever because he's not going to admit that he lost. He's going to go out kicking and screaming. And I have two theories. Either he's going to go out kicking and screaming and they're going to have to drag him out, or he's going to magically disappear, you know, a little bit before Inauguration Day, like maybe the night before, and we're just not going to be able to find him.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
That'd be crazy. I mean, I think he's going to.
I'm also
Go ahead.
Did you see in the news today that today he effectively made the person, I forgot her exact title, but she was overseeing the nuclear stockpile. He asked her for her resignation, and she was basically effectively fired. And also, same was the person in charge of natural gas regulation. They were somehow asked to resign. And same thing with the person in charge of our national electrical grid. Mm-hmm. I've spit in my mouth. I can't fully speak. Sorry. Our electrical grid, she was asked to resign. Those three positions right now are vacant. And that is concerning. Like, why those three positions? What are you planning, Mr. Trump administration?
Yeah,
I wanted to call you Mr. Fascist administration trying to grip on a power, but that's a little much. Mr. Trump, what are you planning here? It's a little concerning. What's going on here? Some of us can put the clues together.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that because I've been at work, but I do feel like he's going to try to take this country down with him. And when he can't do it, because he won't be able to do it, because this is America and no one person can just single-handedly bring us down. But when he realizes it's not going to work, I think he might just try to go off to another country so we can't put him in jail once he's not president.
I jokingly said to my dad, who's, like I said, a Trump supporter, but it's okay. He's allowed to as a political opinion. Mm-hmm. I told him, listen, there's three outcomes here. Either Trump leaves the country, either he, like, fakes his own death, or he goes in jail. And you know what? I can see any one of those possibilities happening. I don't know. I don't know what these rich billionaires do with their time and their money and their failing egos.
Yeah, and because Trump has,
I don't know,
Trump has sneaky friends in high places. He, let's not forget, he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. So
I know.
So we're coming to the end here, just because I usually, we could talk forever, but I don't want to put people through that. So the last thing I just want to talk about quickly is, I don't know if you remember, but in 2016, the final electoral college count was 232 for Clinton and 306 for Trump. And if Biden wins Georgia and North Carolina and Alaska go to Trump, it'll be 306 for Biden and 232 for Trump. So it really just feels like a full circle poetic justice moment for me. Like literally losing by the same number of votes that Clinton lost in 2016. It's just so fitting.
That's beautiful. Oh my gosh. I didn't put that together. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Electoral College map right now, and because I've just been looking at it nonstop since Tuesday, I can definitely pass a map quiz for sure. Literally, if the three states that are left that are still counting go to who they're leaning towards right now, it'll be the same exact Electoral College count as 2016, but for the opposite party. So that's another thing. Also, real quick before we go, did you know where Trump was when the election results came out? You asked me where I was. Do you know where he was?
I assume in the White House.
No.
Boarded up.
No,
somewhere.
He was on the golf course. Also fitting.
Ah, no.
Literally, I saw, God, really? I got a report on my phone, 10:30 a.m., Trump lands at his golf course, 11:30 a.m., they announced Joe Biden as president. I was like, it's just so fitting that the current president is golfing when Joe Biden is announced as our new president. It's just, it couldn't have gone any better.
I hope he scored a good game.
I mean, that's
because that's really the only thing going for him before he goes to fucking prison.
Forever. I was gonna.
Sorry if I'm allowed to. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear in here.
I mean, I've never sworn on here, but you're allowed to do what you want. But on that beautiful note of Trump's tragic fall, we're gonna up
tragic.
Like literally, it's out of a Greek tragedy. Like he had this super rise to power, and now he's just crumbling. And on that beautiful note, I'm going to end it there, but you have to come back because we could literally talk forever. So thank you for doing this. Come back soon. And to everyone listening, I will talk to you soon.